So we are in Philippians today, chapter 3, and we are going to begin and read the first 9 verses. If I set the pace for you or the tone for you, the Apostle Paul has used Timothy and Epaphroditus as examples. Now he's going to use himself as an example of following Christ and having a mindset like Christ has. We're going to read about circumcision, and all of you are going to go, what's the big deal? You see, because in our culture and in our day, it's not a deal. But in Paul's day, it was. And you have to remember, I don't want to take it too lightly, circumcision was the mark of being in covenant with God. If you were a Hebrew, you had to be circumcised. And it said that you were in covenant with the Almighty God, the one true God of the world. And so I want to make sure we don't take that too lightly. But when Jesus died on the cross, then circumcision became a non-issue. And wherever the Apostle Paul would go and preach, and he would start a church, and he would say, you are saved by grace through faith. It's all what Christ did for you on the cross. And then people would follow behind him and say, yeah, that's all good. Jesus died on the cross for you. You could be a Christian, but you need to be circumcised. And they were adding to the gospel, and the Apostle Paul was very upset about it. And so today we're going to read, and for the next 3 weeks, actually, we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul as an example of having the mind of Christ. So we're going to begin in chapter 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. See, he's talking about circumcision. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Church, what a claim the Apostle Paul has. Now listen, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit will come and he will place this in our hearts and he will give us understanding, and that, Lord, we'll walk out the door living a different Christian life, closer to you than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, as Paul starts out, Paul told the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. If you remember last week, which I hope you remember a little bit, the Apostle Paul said, I trust in the Lord and I put confidence in the Lord. And then it was our first point last week. Here our first point is, Paul told the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. If you're in here today and you say, I can't rejoice and I don't have anything to rejoice about, I want to ask you, are you in the Lord? Take my life. I woke up this morning and my team is stuck with a bunch of beer makers chasing us and a bunch of birds flying ahead of us. And we've lost 2 in a row. Is there anything more despairing than that? And I don't even know if we can come up with a wild card. And I can rejoice in the Lord. Our well doesn't work. and I can rejoice in the Lord. We don't have enough money for a building fund, but I can rejoice in the Lord. You see, church, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. What a test. Your next point, Paul reminded the Philippians to beware of false prophets. You see, he says here, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard. You see, it's a reminder, and Paul keeps reminding us. Is anybody here ever get aggravated like me when somebody reminds you about the same thing every week coming up? You see, every Tuesday night, my wife says, you got to take the garbage out. Again? So I always say, I know, don't worry, you know, she sees the frustration. So what happens after I told her, you know, you don't have to remind me all the time. I wake up the next morning, and what do I hear? All of a sudden, I hear a garbage truck, and I go, oh, no. See, the Apostle Paul said, it's no trouble for me to keep reminding you, because Christians, we need to be reminded. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. And so he says, I'm going to remind you about this. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. See, the Apostle Paul came in with the gospel, with the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for you, rising up from the dead, taking away the sting of death, giving you a ticket into heaven if you'll follow him and put your hope in him. And then the Judaizers would come behind him and they would say, yes, that's all great, but you need to be circumcised. And if you read the letter of Galatians chapter 5, verse 12, he has some really strong language for what he says they should do about that. Paul says to the Galatians, you ran well. Who cut in on you? Who busted you up and got you off track and took you away from being saved by grace through faith and trusting in Christ alone? And really what he's doing, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 56. And if we go back to Isaiah chapter 56, all right, verses 10 and 11, this is what he's quoting. It says, Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. Now listen, they are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and they dream and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. And Paul says, don't listen to them. And church, I have to tell you today, they're every place in this world trying to lead the church astray, saying, church, you have to accept this, you have to do this. You know, it's 2019, get with it. This is the new way, and abandon being saved by grace through faith and giving your heart totally to Christ. And come on, try a little bit of this. And Paul says, watch out for them. Be aware of what they're doing. Next point, false prophets are trying to add works to salvation. See, they were saying, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross and it's good enough, you know, and he saved you and your sins can be forgiven. But, ladies, you can't wear pants. Right? It's a Pentecostal holiness thing in a lot of churches. They say, now, you can't do that. Why? See this? Don't wear makeup. Don't wear makeup. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Get the right color carpet in your church. You see, it's just, there's such a gamut of things out there. It's adding works. It's taken away from the freedom. And the Apostle Paul gets so upset with it, and rightly so. See, this is the man who in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, you know, he said, I didn't come to you with eloquent speech. He said, I came in fear and trembling. Folks, this is our guest speaker today, the Apostle Paul. He doesn't have anything eloquent to say, and he's scared to death. And the only thing he knows is Christ Jesus and him crucified. And so Paul said, beware of these people. Watch out for them. They're going to steal your freedom. They're going to make you feel guilty. They're going to make you do things that look religious and have a form of godliness, but they lack the power. Now, as we follow through the outline, an outward sign of circumcision does not secure salvation for anyone. It can't make you saved. It can't get you to heaven. And there's a gamut of things that people will tell you that will get you to heaven. And if you're really a Christian, you ought to do this and you ought not to do that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, get your eyes on Jesus. That outward sign cannot secure salvation. We're going to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want you to hear what John says about this, all right? Verses 12 and 13, all right, of the text. Yet to all who did receive him, that's Jesus. If you're doing an inductive Bible study, you'd put a J there for Jesus or the cross. And to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, listen now, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Isn't it something? It doesn't matter who your mom and dad are. It doesn't matter what your lineage is, you know. You can go on that website and find out about all your ancestors. That doesn't matter when it comes to salvation and going to heaven, all right? We're going to Romans now, all right? Romans chapter 9 and verses 6 through 8 of the text. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. See, you're a child of promise. God promised a Savior. If you rely on the Savior, if you acknowledge what he did, it has nothing to do with what you wore to church or what you drove to church or the house you came out of. It has everything to do with who Jesus Christ truly is. So we should ask ourselves, what does God want? What does he require? What's Paul talking about? And here's your point. God requires circumcised hearts. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, God requires that your heart be circumcised. And Paul says, forget about the flesh, guys. But let's look at your heart, and he wants your heart to be circumcised. Deuteronomy chapter 10, all right? In Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is what he says in verse 16. He says, circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. If your heart is uncircumcised, you may be in here going, I just don't know if I agree with God on that area. You see, I like heaven. I want to be in heaven with God, but I don't know about, you know, living a holy life. You got stiff necks. God says, he says, circumcise your heart. chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, all right? And verse 6. Now, because some of you are going, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can conform. I got good news for you. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. In the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him, listen to this, with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. Do you hear the greatest commandment in there? Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, with all your soul. And Paul says, this isn't about something going on in the flesh. It's not about an outward sign. It's not about what you look like. It's not your hairdo, you see. It's not your eyesight. It's your relationship. Do you have a circumcised heart? All right? Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 25 through 29. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. Isn't that interesting? So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, they will not be regarded as though they were circumcised. Let's see, did I read that right? So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? Yes, they will. If the one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will... The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and the circumcision, are a law breaker. So Paul is saying the key is you circumcise your heart and you do what God says. See, that's what matters. That's what's important to us. Now, following this in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, your next point, listed the reasons he could put confidence in the flesh. You see what he says here in verse 4, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. My mom and dad were both Hebrews. My lineage is pure. If you cut me, I bleed Jewish. You see this? And he listed, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. In other words, the Apostle Paul would have a plaque on his wall saying, Dr. Apostle Paul. As for zeal, persecuting the church. Remember, the Apostle Paul was throwing Christians in jail. He thought he was serving God. He was persecuting the Christians. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, Saul, quit kicking against the goats. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Isn't that amazing? He says, as for being righteous according to the law, I was faultless. When I sinned, as Saul, he says, when I sinned, I brought the proper sacrifice to the temple, and I was cleansed from my unrighteousness according to the law. And so he says, folks, I have a right to boast in salvation through the law. And yet he won't do it because he met Jesus. Look at your next point. Paul's value system changed when he met Jesus. All those things, you see, all those things that he valued knowing the law by heart, following the law to the T, being a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had everything going for him. He had climbed the ladder. He was one of the top guys. And he says, it means nothing to me. His value system changed when he met Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 6, 15, listen to what he read. Here he wrote, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. I'm so glad I'm a new creation, and when my friends remind me of my past, I can say that was my old man. You're absolutely right. That's what I say to them. I was sitting at a baseball game one time when my daughters were playing softball, and all my old girlfriends were sitting there. All my friends from high school were sitting there, and we were all married, and we all had children, and they said to me, "Oh, you can't keep your daughter from going to a junior high dance because we know what you were like." That was the old man. And my new man said, "Lord, what am I going to do about this?" And you know what he told me? He said, "Tell them you had to repent and that they could do the same." And I said, "You guys are right." But I said, "I had to repent and ask for forgiveness for everything I did. I don't want my daughter to go through that." And you know what they did? They all turned around. They watched the game and they talked about how great the game was. And they never said another word to me about my past. You see, Paul says it's not circumcision or uncircumcision. It's a new creation. Have you been washed? Because Jesus died on the cross for you. Are you a new creature? And Paul counts all his, your next point, Paul counts all his former assets as rubbish. And I have to tell you, that's not the word he really used. Got some farmers in here? He says, "It's all manure to me. It's trash, it's garbage, it's refuse." I said, "Lord, I can't describe this to people. I'm trying to describe it to them. How can I tell them that he thinks it's nothing but cow dung and manure?" And then I had an example on the way to church today. I hope you can take it. I was driving. I love to come and drive and ride my Harley past the lake, you know, and I see all the guys fishing, thinking, "You poor souls, you're going to catch nothing out there. You should have come to church." And then there it was, a lady walking her dog. He was about this big, man. And what do you think that dog was doing? And she was there with her bag turned inside out, ready to clean up after her dog. And I said, "There it is! That's what Paul counts all the bells and whistles and all his accomplishments." He said, "Compared to knowing Jesus, that's it." I can tell you're getting the picture. He said, "Folks, it's not about all your accomplishments. You know, what's your identity, church? What's your identity? Man, I've gone through so many identities in my life. You know that? Man, I grew up, I love fast cars, man. My identity was going to the drag strip every Sunday so I could wreck something. I just wanted to go fast. I thought I'd make a name for myself going fast." And my dad was right. He said, "You're going to spend all your money. You're going to break everything you have." And I got that out of my system. Then I thought I'd be the greatest dairy farmer in the world. I'm telling you, years ago, I could have told you every bull that there was. The best. I had the best genealogy that there was. And I was bringing my cattle up, and my cattle herd was getting better and better and better, and we were making more milk. And that was my identity. And then I had a back operation. I couldn't do anything I used to do. You know, I took 10 days in the hospital and months to recover, and I couldn't climb silos, and I couldn't feed my cows, I couldn't milk my cows, I couldn't take care of my cows. When I was in the hospital, God said, "You read the book of Romans." And I read in Romans that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And God taught me. I don't like to thank God for back pain, but he taught me in that hospital that he loves me if I'm lying flat on my back and I can do nothing. And the Apostle Paul says it has nothing to do with my education. It has nothing to do with all these things I've done in my life. Now, Paul used them all, folks. He wrote the books of theology for us. He used everything he had learned, but he said, "It's all nothing to me compared to knowing Christ." It's your next point. Paul's life revolves around knowing Christ. He came to, you know, he came to the Corinthians and he said, I know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I would be going, Paul, you know so much, man. You know the first five books of the Bible by heart, Paul. He would say, I don't know anything except for Christ crucified. If you're in here today and if you know Christ crucified, you're one of the smartest people in the world. Do you know that? If you don't know Christ crucified, you've got a lot to learn. Amen. You don't have to learn it on your own. He's going to help you. He's going to help you, okay? Next point. Paul sold everything he had, and he bought the treasure and the pearl. All right? We're going to Matthew all right now, chapter 13, okay? Matthew chapter 13. And this is what he says. In Matthew chapter 13, all right, verses 44 through 45, all right. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and he sold all he had, and he bought the field. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, I learned all this. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I was faultless according to the law. And he said, I sold it all and I gave it all up so I could be with Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. Paul said, I was the top of my class. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I knew so much. I was going so far. I was getting to the top of the ladder. And he said, I gave it all up and I bought it. I bought the pearl of great price. His name is Jesus. I took him in and he came freely. Some of you might be in here going, how can I do this, Lord? How can I get to that place? You know, and I'm here to tell you that he's going to help you. Colossians 2:11, in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off. Now listen, when you are circumcised by Christ. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of who? Christ. What's your identity, church? Who are you? You got to answer this question. It's the last thing on your outline. For to me, to live is, how are you going to fill it out? Some people have to fill it out and they have to say, for to me, to live is, football season's coming. You see. This is my profession. I go to this church. It won't get you to heaven. Is your heart circumcised? You know, this is what it means to me. If you have a heart that's been circumcised, your heart is open to Jesus Christ. Is your heart open to him? Is there anything between you and Jesus? If there is, church, today, this is my prayer, that you can give it up. Say, I count it as rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Church, everything in the world in your life can be going wrong. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and if you're bought by his precious blood, then you can rejoice. You have an identity. The thing that makes you significant is not what you've done or what you're going to do. What makes you significant is that you're known by God the Father because Jesus said, "Hey, Dad, that's mine. That man, that woman, that child, they belong to us, Dad, because they've taken what I did on the cross and acknowledged it and allowed themselves to be circumcised, not by human hands, by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're a new creation, Dad. They belong to us." Now, if you're in here today and you're going, "Oh, I hope I make it to heaven. I hope I make it to heaven." Don't leave without coming up here and talking to us. Surrender to Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess me, Jesus says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That's why I love going to the fair. Because when I tell people about Jesus, I'm confessing him before perfect strangers. And some of them think I'm out of my mind. And I rejoice. Because they can have that. Whosoever. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, if there's one heart in here that has never confessed you, I pray that it would happen right now. And Lord, I would ask them to come up and to speak to us and to pray with us, so that we can acknowledge that we heard them. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Apostle Paul wrote, you shall be saved. Father, I pray for salvation in your house today. And I pray that you draw us close to your side and that we can fill out that blank that says, "For to me to live is Christ," with the Apostle Paul. Now, Lord, take your word this morning and settle it in our hearts to accomplish what you've sent it to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer, we're up here. We want to pray with you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out there and be an ambassador for Christ. God bless you.